Chapter 13. It was hard work, moving through the interior of the wrecked ship nearest the top cargo bay, but the interior lights were mostly functional, thanks to Charlie's clever rerouting. Even so, Rika carried a portable light as well as a backup. She had no desire to be stuck in the belly of the beast in the dark, especially if the hull shifted and she had to make a quick escape. Hazards abounded as she plodded along, and much of her time was spent crawling through narrow spaces while avoiding jagged bits of metal and other debris that could cause all manner of unpleasantness if she wasn't careful. It was dangerous, but she pushed on, slowly squeezing past toppled equipment blocking the starboard corridors as she edged her way even farther inside. While some of the passageways in the section were intact and passable, far more were either entirely collapsed or dangerously near. That meant Rika had to be particularly careful as she maneuvered her way through the tangled mess. Even with Charlie's remote-controlled rover, it had been a bit of a chore scoping out a suitable and safe route. The lower levels had been much easier to access during the rescue attempt, and as that had been where the bulk of the crew was located when the event occurred, that was where they had aimed all of their search and rescue efforts. Now that the survivors were accounted for, the ship's second-in-command was trying to access something other than crew and supplies, something that could prove quite valuable if it was indeed still functional. The giant mech was pretty damn solid, designed to operate in both the vacuum of space as well as the hostile environmental conditions of Mars. In its travel configuration, its systems were even more robustly protected. She just hoped the electromagnetic clamps holding it in place hadn't failed during the crash. Rika jammed her small pry bar into the airlock door separating sections of the corridor and pulled hard. The buckled hull had thrown off the alignment all throughout the ship, and there were several seemingly intact doors that she felt likely wouldn't open without blasting charges or a plasma cutter. This one, however, had some give to it. "That's more like it," she grunted, as the door began to slowly creak open, reluctantly giving up its treasures to the determined woman. "Oh, fuck," she said as she squeezed inside. The mech was intact, as she had hoped, and the mag clamps had indeed held it in place during the crash. It was the rest of the equipment that had not fared so well. The power cell storage racks had ripped from the walls. Their bolts appeared to have snapped free, sent flying like the hastily discarded buttons popped from the male stripper's shirt she'd seen in that show in Vegas years ago. The units had been thrown all over the place and had battered the compartment, destroying the recharge dock and trickle lines keeping the mech on standby for the flight. The main power cells themselves had been removed from the machine for the voyage. It had been deemed far safer to store them separately, reinstalling them upon arrival. Unfortunately, their steel housings were all bent to hell. There was no chance of them fitting into their cradles in the mech's massive body. Even with a healthy amount of elbow grease, there was no chance they'd be able to bend them back to straight. Rika checked over the metal casings carefully. "At least there are no ruptures," she sighed with relief. A broken cell would mean contamination of the area, and she still wanted to have a better look at her baby. She climbed up the side of the mech, popping open the pilot's access hatch and sliding down the ladder into the belly of the machine. Everything was intact, and the internal backups had kept all systems in low-power standby mode. "Do you have anything left for me?" she wondered aloud, flipping a series of switches on the pilot's console. The mech silently powered to life, its displays illuminating with diagnostic readouts and status updates. The bipedal craft was in perfect condition, it seemed. Perfect, but for one little problem. It lacked even the power to shift from its storage and travel configuration to its proper form. There was just enough juice to power the internal computers, but nothing to make the thing move. Rika reluctantly powered down, sitting quietly in her pilot seat a long moment before climbing back out of the machine and sealing it up again. It had been a good idea. If she had been able to get the power cells loaded and fire it up, the mech would have made the search for resources so much easier. And finding water? Hell, digging was one of the things it was designed for. But that was not to be the case. They were stuck searching on foot and digging by hand, it seemed. And that was going to suck. "Sorry, big guy. I was hoping to take you for a spin," she said, then left the silent machine in its final resting place. The mag clamps would eventually lose power, like the rest of the ship, as its damaged systems continued to short out. But even freed of the restraints, the massive mech would not be going anywhere. Rika cleared her head and set back to work. There were some other supplies in the cargo bay, however, and she made quick time in gathering what could be of use to the survivors. She then slung the laden sack over her shoulder and crawled out to the half-open doors and headed back to the surface. "Any luck?" Charlie asked, as his exhausted friend climbed out of their wrecked ship. "I found some supplies," she replied, dropping the duffel onto the ground with a dusty thud. "But the mech's power cells were damaged. It's not going anywhere." "Damaged? How bad?" Charlie asked, sitting up. "Don't worry, they're intact and not leaking. Just all bent up. There is no way to get them loaded in. So I'm afraid we have a perfectly intact mech, but still no way to use it." "Just our luck," he grumbled. "Tell me about it. At least you were able to reach the upper cargo bay." "It wasn't easy, let me tell you. I had to squeeze past tumbled gear and shimmy down a partially collapsed corridor just to reach the access door, which only opened about halfway, even with a pry bar. So salvaging anything of any size isn't an option. Not from that section of the ship. Too much work and too risky." "How about shelter? Anywhere looks stable enough to use?" Rika thought about it a moment. "Well, I think we may be able to set up somewhere on the mid-port levels, but we'll need to give them a more thorough going over before you risk moving anyone back inside. Too many structural issues going on, and I don't want to risk a collapse trapping us all in there if something goes wrong." "Wonderful," he said with a defeated sigh. Charlie lay back down and stared up into the vast sky. Tomorrow would be a new day, and he hoped it would bring some better news. For now, however, sleep was a priority, and he soon drifted off into a sound slumber.